My safe word is Quetzal. Let's go.
That some Americans are fucking up and I can't do anything about it?
That makes me upset. I'm a little horny.
I'm not gonna mansplain figure skating.
Yo soy Maria!
Thank you, next. All right. Welcome to the Iced Tea Podcast, the podcast where we spill the tea on figure skating. My name is Megan.
I am Netta. Hi, welcome back. Thank you so much for joining us again. We're back. We took a week off. Because so much was happening. We did not have time to sit down and talk about it.
We fully acclimated ourselves to Japan time, which was a huge mistake, as we say in America.
Yeah, this distinctly American saying of huge mistake. But yeah, we were in Japan on all levels except for physical. We were in Japan. Why were we in Japan?
We were in Japan mentally because it was the World Figure Skating Championship. So, of course, we had to, you know, take a nice little dissociative trip of the mind, an odyssey of the mind to Japan. You may remember from a previous episode that we had some predictions about Worlds, and we are here to update you and tell you that we were wrong.
Yeah, welcome to the ICT podcast where nothing we say matters because all of it was, well, not all of it. I was right about some things.
I don't know if I was right about anything. I think
my math
everything
was
I've
right
ever
about some
wrong.
Things. My soul was not. It was a journey. I think it's safe to say that Worlds 2019 was a journey in ways I did not imagine possible. But here we are. We've survived. We're talking about it.
We are. And this week we're talking about ladies. Just ladies. So congratulations, lesbians. It's your week.
Yeah, this is a week for women. We're back to working towards gender equality. We're putting women first. The future is femme, etc. So we're not gonna do what we usually do, where we take you through every single beat of a program. Because honestly, you've heard us talk about those programs several times by now. You know what excites us about them. We're just gonna talk about the general experience.
Exactly, in some order. Now, we have to address the elephant in the room, which is the alleged, I don't know, what do we even call it? The alleged Lakewood assault 2019 assault. Knife shoe gate.
See, it's so easy to laugh about this now. A week ago, I was trying to imagine recording an episode, and I was at such a loss.
I lost sleep over this. I was so upset. I was so angry. I, like, seriously, it was one of those moments where I was like, maybe I need to stop following sports because I am too emotionally invested in people I don't know personally.
Oh, jokes aside, if you're somehow tuning into this podcast to listen to people talk about Worlds, but you don't know what happened, shout out to the boys from Crime and Sports who will never cover this because there was no crime. Here's what we know. On Thursday, March 21st, 2019, some shit went down.
Yeah, so it was an official rehearsal, or official practice, rather, not rehearsal.
we're theater people.
For those of you who don't know, the bigger competitions have, like, official practices where the athletes go. I mean, they don't have to go, but it would be, like, pretty dumb of them not to. So...
Some of them
use Ruhanyu.
Use Ruhanyu.
No, he can do whatever he wants, let's be honest. He could go, I mean,
Do singles, a triple axel, bow and leave? Yeah.
Exactly. I was going to say that, but then I'm like, no, he has. So the athletes show up a few days early at the competitions and they do their official practice time so they can make sure that their music is correct and they can make sure that they have a feel of the ice. And the other athletes in their practice group don't leave the ice. They kind of stay around the edges. And as long as you don't get under their feet, you're okay. And that person who's going through their program at that time has the right of way. And that's just like something that's known about like skating etiquette. And also worth noting is you can't really stop in the middle of your like run through because it's run like a very tight ship and you can't tell the ISU at the World Figure Skating Championships like, hold on 1 second, sorry, we have to stop and start over. Like, that's not how it works. So I think these are things that most people don't know, and it would be really worth knowing those things before you run your mouth off on the internet.
This was impressively not shady right until the very end. So here's what happened. This manner of running a practice where there's a lot of athletes on ice and there's music going is not just like an ISU thing. I see that happen at my rink all the time, where people will literally bring like a speaker and hook up an iPhone to it and take over the sound of the ice. And it's kind of your responsibility as an athlete who is not doing their run through to kind of look around, see who seems like they're performing, and make sure that you're out of your way. In a recent interview, Rafael Arutyunyan compared that to like when you see a police car or an ambulance with their lights on. You know that they have the right of way. You have to move out of their way. They're not looking for you. Having said all of that, what happened was Mariah Bell was doing back crossovers into her first jump during her one run-through of her short program. And Eunsu Lim kind of drifted away from the boards, which is valid. But she drifted away from the boards and she got clipped by Mariah's blade as she was skating backwards at a very high speed going into a jump.
Yep. Backwards, as in, like, not forwards, as in, like, can't see where you're going. And she kicked her leg out at the exact moment that Eunsu kind of, like, drifted away from the boards. And if you really, really wanted it to believe that it was on purpose, like, you could see that. But that's just not, like, a logical thing to believe.
Let me just go on record and say, I adore Mariah Sheehan Bell so deeply. I do not think she is smart enough to calculate the precision it would take to make that a calculated, pre-planned move. There are so many things that would have to fall into place right until the very second where contact is made for someone to pre-plan this.
It's true. Also, a collision is so dangerous for both skaters.
Yeah.
Like, there's no way that you could do it like, oh, I'm just gonna hit her at this exact angle at this exact speed, and
it's a lot of math and a lot of like,
and not hurt myself and only hurt her a little bit. And I don't know, to me I was also a little bit like, not to sound like evil, but like, if you're gonna take someone out, take out like Rika Kihira, like someone who could win.
Also, if you're gonna take out someone who trains at your home rink, you take them out before they travel out to Japan.
Like, yeah, don't do it on the world's biggest stage. Also,
don't do it in a practice where there's cameras present. Like, I'm sure they have, like, evening sessions at Lakewood where there's no one watching. If you're gonna attack someone, that's where you do that.
Yeah,
also,
so
if
Raph
the ISU
also
is listening, I'm not planning on doing that to anyone.
Yeah, same. Also, I'll never, ever, ever get to an ISU event, so it's fine. but Raph is their coach, and he also said that that Eunsu has seen Mariah's program, and Mariah is one of those skaters who does it the same every time, so it's not like she didn't know it was coming. Now, we say all this because after this incident, an article came out in the Korean news that said that it had multiple sources that said that Eunsu's representation, her management company, had gone to the news and said that they had asked the ISU to make a formal complaint against Mariah, and allegedly Eunsu had been bullied by Mariah for months, and that she had to change locker rooms and training times to keep them apart, and all of this stuff. Now, what we never got was like any sort of like specific evidence or like statements from anyone. And to the point that, like, to this day, we still don't really have a strong idea of how much of that came out of Eunsu's mouth. And, like, I want to almost give her the benefit of the doubt and say, like, she's, like, 16 years old. Like, how much could she possibly have engineered all of this, you know?
Also, I want to say that when we got this article where all of this news started dropping, it was, like, fan translated by, like, a Korean fan who speaks English onto Twitter. That's how the news spread. That was about 2 days before we actually got the footage that we just so artistically recounted. So all we knew was this poor 16-year-old who is far away from home is getting bullied and is hurt and upset and blah, 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 blah. And there was a moment in which I personally doubted my sanity, because I try to be, you know, a reasonable feminist. I try to believe victims whenever anything that should be an assault happens. So there was a moment in which I had to check myself and be like, am I doubting all of this because I like Mariah? And then more and more information started coming out, and I was like, no, I'm doubting all of this because it doesn't seem like it was a pre-planned event.
Yeah, know? No, totally. Like, let me be clear. Like, when I first heard about this, the thing that upset me immediately was, oh my God, I have to cancel my fave. Like, I was so sad that I would have, like, somebody that I thought was so great could be so bad. And then the more I found out, the more I was like, oh, yeah, this doesn't seem right. Like, for example, like, everybody at Lakewood has come out to be like, no one ever changed training times. You know, safe sport requires that they're in different locker rooms because Mariah's over 18 and Eunsu's under 18. Like I think a lot of people.
It was insane to me that a rule that is implemented to like protect younger athletes got twisted into something evil in like at some point during this.
So the thing is, this is the thing that makes me angry. And this is my little baby rant on this is that.
Let's go. It's our podcast. No one can stop us.
It's our podcast. Okay. So. Essentially, the trajectory of, like, the court of public opinion was, like, especially people who don't follow figure skating were like, oh my God, it's Tonya Harding again, blah, 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 blah. People just want to, like, have a crazy story and it's fine. They're not emotionally invested in these athletes, so it's, like, whatever. You know, but then people start posting, like, death threats and terrible things on her Instagram and, you know, to the point where it's, like, the hate she's getting is worse than anything that even allegedly happened to Eunsu, right? And then... It's not just her, it's like her family members and her boyfriend and all this stuff. So then all this evidence comes out that it probably didn't happen that way. It probably wasn't that big of a deal. And then all the haters have changed their tune now to the thing that they keep saying is she should have just stopped and apologized. She should have stopped and apologized. And that's the thing that people keep repeating is like, well, maybe she didn't do it on purpose, but she should have stopped her program and apologized, which I think is absolute bullshit because
first of all, you don't know where I don't know if everyone who listens to this has ever worn a figure skate or any skate. You don't really the blades are not the soles of your feet. You're not going to know really if you've clipped something. Also, especially high level athletes, they clip the boards all the time and they touch things. I doubt that anyone can know within like the millisecond that it took to like make this contact that it was damage being made. Also, for whatever it's worth, ice rinks get very, very, very loud, especially during like a sound check situation for a main event.
Her music was playing. It was blasting. It didn't look to me like she knew what happened. And I don't know what goes through your head when you're in the middle of a run through at Worlds. Maybe she wasn't like, even if she did notice, I don't think that you can hold her to the standard of like, she has to stop because she's not going to get a do-over. So she's going to compromise her whole career over politeness. Yeah. There are people on the internet who think they don't care. It comes first to be like kind to other people. And I'm like, okay, you wouldn't say that about a male athlete. I'm sorry. I'm just going to say it. Like, yeah, women athletes are not allowed to be athletes first. They have to be polite, perfect women first. If Nathan Chen did that, no one would give a shit. They'd just be like, oh, he's an athlete.
Adam Rippon's mom made the very solid point that Patrick Chan and Adam Rippon had, like, a very gruesome collision, like, a couple years back, which I went back and rewatched because I'm a masochist. And it was way more purposeful than, like, I mean, not, like, either one of them was, like, running over the other one, but they literally tripped over each other and both fell to the ground. And both of them went on to, like, you know, podium at the same event. And Adam Rippon's mom, whose name I think is Kelly and, you know, who is a reasonable person, was like, there wasn't a single person in the media who tried to make this about a rivalry or a sabotage or anything else. It was like, oh my God, this horrible thing happened at morning practice. I hope they're both okay. And I do think a part of that is misogyny. And I do think a part of that is like wanting to have, you know, catty girls in locker rooms and like mean and like athlete cheerleader types being mean to each other or like another Tonya or like anything like that. I absolutely believe that this would not be the case if it was like Nathan Chen and Junghwan Cha, you know.
That would be funny. Sorry, it's not funny. I don't know why I'm laughing.
It's not funny. I just went to, like, top American athlete versus, like, little innocent Korean person.
Well, I don't know. I don't know if I would call Gen 1 a top, but, you know.
That's a conversation for Patreon. Yeah, no.
But yeah, but no, I think, I yeah, I think she's held to a, I think the fact that she looks, yeah, she looks like a nice girl, so people are like, oh, if she doesn't act like a nice girl, then fuck her. Well, you know what? She's an Olympian, so. did she go to the Olympics?
No, she has not.
She's a future Olympian, so leave her alone.
Also, speaking of Mariah being a future Olympian, do you think anyone would risk their Olympic future? Because she has been talking about how her, you know, her goal right now is 2022. It's the Winter Olympics. No one would risk that future to hurt someone who is currently placing, you know, 8th, 9th, 10th at events. Like, it's not... It was never going to be a Tanya and Nancy thing, because Tanya and Nancy were fighting for gold.
Exactly. Exactly. I was just going to say that. It's the stakes were, like, literally, they're fighting over, like, 8th and 9th place. And then even Raph said that, which I think, you know, we can talk about whether that's an appropriate thing to say about your own students. But even Raph was like, neither of them were going to podium.
Yeah, I think it's a fair assessment. Like, it's good to be realistic about where you're headed at an event.
Well, yeah. I mean, Mariah's the only woman who finished in the top 10, spoilers, who doesn't have a triple-triple combo, so, you know, she wasn't gonna...
But now she has murderous rage and a point to prove, and I would be terrified if I were anyone going up against her next year, and not just because she has very sharp blades in her nice dais.
Isn't that the irony, is that we say, oh, Mariah's got all this anger that she's just got to take out on Eunsu. Well, no, she didn't, but now she does. And she's not going to take it out. She ain't going to take it out on Eunsu. She's going to take it out on everybody.
No one is safe. Yeah, I saw someone on Reddit be like, oh, maybe it was just good for her in the long run, because I've never seen her skate like she skated her free skate, blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, no. No one deserves both of them. But
no one deserves death threats. Sorry, I don't care if it makes you better at anything. Death threats are not cool.
I would take no one ever posting a mean thing on a picture of me and my mom over placing like 9th at Worlds. Because there were people... Okay, so what we didn't say is people on the internet managed to make this about race. And now I'm a white person, so I'm not
going
to...
Oh, yeah, they totally did!
I'm not going to get into this because I'm deeply... debilitatingly white, so I can't, but
debilitatingly white,
I can't, but people somehow managed to go from, oh, this happened and those two female athletes got into something, into Mariah Bell is a racist who hates young Korean women, which we had zero evidence of. And for whatever it's worth, half of the people at that practice session were of Asian descent.
I would say probably more than half if you count the fact that it's in Japan.
Yeah, she could have found so many Asian people to go after if she truly hated Asian people.
Or don't do it in Japan, where, dare I say, everyone's Asian. Also, her best friend is Nathan Chen, so, like, I don't
or
know,
is
man.
He? Maybe she's just fraternizing with the enemy so she can get very, very close. I don't fucking know. Yeah.
Nathan Chen, token Asian friend.
She's like, yeah, I couldn't have hurt her because I have one Asian friend.
Oh, God.
But, yeah, so people, like, went on her picture with her mom for Mother's Day and they were like, are you proud that you gave birth to a racist? And shit like that, and I'm like, how did we
so
get
awful.
Here?
Like, I'm laughing because it's so awful.
How did we get here? Yeah, people are, like, up on romance pictures from, like, Valentine's Day, being like, you should be ashamed of yourself for dating a racist. And I'm like, how did we get here?
This is, okay, and one more thing that made me angry, okay, and then.
It's fine. This is good to talk about. I feel like
it
we
is.
Need to. Yes.
We need it to get it out. So one more thing that made me angry is that before anyone made a statement, because in my opinion, the ISU took its goddamn time. It took like 24 hours to make a statement. And before that time, Adam Rippon waited on Twitter and commented on the thread of the person who like translated the Korean article and was like, this is clickbait. This is just people pitting female athletes against each other. I've trained with both of them. This would never happen at Lakewood. This is ridiculous. And, let's just let them both skate or whatever. And The issue that made me so angry is that everyone then piled on Adam Rippon and was like, you made
this
it worse by weighing
privilege.
In. Yeah, they were like, you made it worse by weighing in. You made it a bigger deal than it needed to be. You don't know anything. Why would you stick your nose in something you don't understand? And I'm like, the people that were saying that Adam Rippon was sticking his nose in something he doesn't understand are people who've never skated, never been to California, never met any of these people, let alone trained with the same coach in the same rink with the same people. I'm like, he literally knows them. Like, he's a character witness. What the fuck else do you want? And again, it's like, wow, everybody is really quick to accuse like flamboyant gay men and women of being dramatic, but you know what the fuck.
Yeah, it was fucked up just because there was this idea of like this moral high ground that some people, I'm not gonna call them stans, but like the people who were taking Eunsoo's side very, very, very aggressively, who believed to know every detail of this with the amount of evidence that we had. And like you said, it was so funny to me that they would turn to someone who literally knows everyone involved. And of course, he could have had personal stakes. We all know that him and Mariah are friends. We know that he respects Raph and would, like, go on and defend, you know, his club. But it's insane to me that you can turn to someone who literally knows the people you're talking about and be like, you don't know what you're talking about. And at the end of the day, I do think that it was distracting. Not personally for both of them, because they skated fine in their free skates, spoiler alert, but I feel like it was distracting to the narrative of both of their free skates, because we were watching for how tired are they? Do they look upset? Oh my god, she has a band-aid on. Instead of watching the very, very, very good skating that they both did.
It's true. And at the end of the day, I do think it's possible that maybe they're not the best of friends. Like,
oh, sure.
Maybe they don't get along. Maybe there have been disagreements, or maybe, like, they rub each other the wrong way. And that's all very possible. I still find it really hard to believe that Eunsoo personally asked for all of this to happen. Like,
absolutely. I feel like she was – I'm not going to say by whom, because it's not my judgment to make, but I do think that this was not fair on her, not because I feel like she was, like, targeted and bullied, but because I feel like even going into next year, next season, people are going to watch her with all of this in mind. It's going to be,
yeah, like,
oh my god, has this poor girl recovered? Or, like, oh my god, here's this, like, evil woman. Like, regardless of which side you want to pick, you're going to watch for the narrative. And that sucks, because I remember watching, like, going into this season, just being like, who is she? And she's so exciting, she's so young and so good, and now all of that is tainted, because regardless of what side you take, it's still, you're still gonna remember. We can't, like, erase this from, like, the overall skating consciousness of, like, people who follow the sport.
Yeah, at the same time, though, I sort of hope / maybe expect that we can move on from this within one, maybe, like, two top seasons.
Oh, yeah.
Just because sometimes I look back on, like, Wikipedia pages of skaters, and I'm like, oh my god, yeah, that weird thing did happen. Or, like, gosh, I didn't even hear about that. That was, like, 5 years ago. So I do think that, like, you know, the public does kind of move on from these things. I don't know how – I mean, I'm sure they won't move on. Like, they'll still remember that these things happen. Especially – I mean, I don't know when or if ever we'll get Eunsoo's story, but I don't know anyone who's ever felt bullied or felt like they had a personal conflict who then wanted it put out to the entire world.
It must have been so stressful for her as well. And I can't imagine that her at 16, like, her first Worlds, would want that. Why you would want that to distract you from, like, something so important. I can't think of it.
Yeah, like, doesn't it kind of feel like when I don't know if this has ever really happened to me or you, but it just feels like a familiar situation when something happens, like, with friends or something, and then, like, a parent gets involved, but it actually just makes it, like, 100 times worse. Like, it feels like that, but, like, on an international scale, where you think it's going to help, but then, like, the teachers get involved, and then all the other kids hear about it, and then it becomes, like, rumor mill.
Yeah. Well, Rav did kind of actually say that in that Russian interview he did. He was like,
yes.
He said he's of the belief that when things happen amongst younger people, it's not always beneficial for, like, adults to get involved because it's different stakes. Real bullying is a very important topic to talk about, and people should reach out and ask for help and all of that. But sometimes if it's just people you don't like in your hallway at high school, it's fine to let it be. It's fine to just know that you're not going to be friends with everyone, you know?
Yeah, I think it's so case by case. Like, yeah, I mean, you know, what the fuck do we know? We only know what we went through, but like,
yeah.
I think everybody's bullying experiences are different, but I do think that this whole situation was unfortunate. And I would highly recommend, if any of you guys haven't seen it already, Netta sent it to me, the John Oliver segment that he did on like internet shaming.
It's public shaming.
Yeah, he interviews Monica Lewinsky, but he also talks a lot about other times where people have just been kind of put on blast in the court of public opinion. And it, essentially, it's basically like, you know, what everybody on earth has made a stupid mistake, if not several. And like, imagine if the stupidest mistake you ever made was then all of a sudden every single person in the world felt entitled to tell you what a dumbass you are and how like, shitty that would feel.
If that becomes your like defining feature. It's a very good segment because he points out that all of us do that. It's part of like living in the internet age, like especially with like polarizing political and social climate that we are having right now. I'm responsible and I have been the person who sees, you know, a shaky camera, like cell phone footage of someone being mean to someone or something. And I'm like, we need to find out where this bitch works. We need to get her fired.
I know, that's true. You always say that,
girl. I did that 2 weeks ago. I saw a video of a woman who was admittedly a garbage person, but it was like a video of a woman being racist at like a Walmart or something. And with no personal stakes of my own, I was like, who is she? We need to get her children to CPS. Like, it's not my... It's okay to be angry, and ranting on the internet helps you feel like you're contributing to the betterment of the world. But sometimes you don't know the full story. And yeah, just watch John Oliver. He's way nicer than I am. He's funnier. And Monica Lewinsky is incredible in that interview. And it really ties back. Because I watched it like the day before all of this happened. And then I was watching this happen and I was like, oh my God, this is a cycle that we're so... It's such a part of like how we engage with things with the amount of information and access to like ways to express our ideas we are. So yeah, just go watch John Oliver. He's way smarter than like I could ever be. So yeah, watch that. Whew. Wow. This felt
good. Oh my
good.
God. It did.
Like, and I feel like I should get like an iced coffee now. I feel like I'm done with therapy.
It's like 1 in the morning then.
It is. I'm drinking a Coke. It's fine. I had like a very bad headache. So now I'm like doing caffeine.
Oh, bless. So speaking of public shaming,
let's talk about some people.
No, I was actually going to say, speaking of public shaming, we also finally got the receipts on Vincent Jo.
Oh my God, we did. Wait, this episode has no structure.
Yeah, well, you know what? It's fine. Worlds was chaotic, so is this episode.
Yeah,
welcome you know to what? The chaos.
Yeah, we did get the receipts on Vincent Jo. We have been asking for them, and it's like this whole theme of this iconic song where you should be careful what you wish for because you just might get it.
Is that a song or is it like
a song? No,
an aphorism.
It is an aphorism, but I feel like there is like, oh, hold on. It's like a mid-2000s pop song that quotes it.
It's
like Pussycat Dolls or something.
This you just might get it. I can hear it in my head.
Right? Lyrics. Okay.
It's Pussycat Dolls. No, it's real.
Pussycat Dolls. I'm so good
is.
At this.
It's when I grow up.
Oh my God. Yes,
be
it is.
What you... Wait, how does
you
it go?
Just might get it.
Okay.
Yeah.
When I grow up, I want to have boobies. That's the only part I know.
Yeah. If she wants to be a star, she wants to be in movies. She wants to have boobies. You know, all relatable. Heart same. But yeah,
because one of those wishes is a lot easier to achieve than the other two.
I mean, unless you're like a trans woman or something, which is valid.
Even then, I think getting a boob job is actually like a...
Yeah, it's easier than being a star in the movies. Yeah, but speaking of all of that, we asked for it and we got it. We got the receipts.
Yeah, speaking of trans women.
Speaking of trans women, Vincent Jo has some horrible opinions about biology, which he co-signed on Twitter at some point.
It was, okay, we found out, essentially, yeah, we knew he liked a tweet that was transphobic, and we didn't know what the tweet was, and we wanted to know what the tweet was, and we finally found out what it was, and it's not great. You know, content warning, I'll say what it was.
We do not stand by what she's about to say.
Yeah, no, we super, super, super don't agree with this. And Vincent, we don't know if he agrees with it either, but we know he liked the tweet, and the tweet was
I do this again because you cut out right as the tweet started. This is the ghost of Carmen trying to protect you from sounding transphobic.
I know. It's true.
Say that again.
Okay, so I guess there was a tweet. The context is that somebody tweeted, like, what about trans people? And then there was a comment on that tweet or a reply on that tweet that said, what about X and Y chromosomes? What about biology? Let's not forget about that. And Vincent liked that. So I don't know what that means, but it's an argument. It's an argument that doesn't really make any sense.
Yeah,
it doesn't really
all,
hold scientific water.
It's
bullshit.
It's very, like, fifth grade biology. But also, I will say, I'm not going to defend him, although I am a self-professed Vincent Zhou apologist. But I'm not going to defend him. I will say that sometimes when I read, like, an argument on Twitter, I like every single tweet in that to let the people know that I'm reading this thread. So there is many ways to, like, favorite on Twitter and what that means. You know, like, when people have their important people who have, like, in their bios, like, retweets are not endorsements, stuff like that. People engage with content in many ways. Also,
I don't know how, like, I don't do that. Like, I didn't know that people did that. I only like things that make me smile.
Oh,
so
yeah,
I don't know.
I like full arguments. I like things for safekeeping. I sometimes misclick and like things just because I have bad fingers. I'm not saying it was any of those things. I'm sure he thought he was being edgy. I will repeat what I've said before. I do deeply think he should just meet more people. I feel like he would benefit from talking to more people and more different people and expanding his horizons, because then I would be free to root for his successes. I hope and believe that in a couple years' time, he will be able to look back at some of the beliefs he holds and realize that it's okay to grow up, and sometimes it's okay to not be as edgy as you'd like to be. We all like a little bit of edge, but, like, do a What Kid program. You don't need to be transphobic.
Keep your edges on the ice.
And that goes for both Vincent and Mariah. And that wraps up. And that wraps up this nuanced life update, this weekend update on the world of figure skating outside of the actual skating, right? Wow. Now that we're like 40 minutes into this episode, should we just talk about some women?
Yeah, let's do it. We already talked about Unsu and Mariah. Do we want to just talk about how they skated? Or should we? No. Let's start with Gabby, because she came in 11th.
Gabby Dailman. I am so deeply proud of Gabby Dailman. She's had such an incredibly good week in so many ways. First of all, she came back. Everyone's eyes were kind of on her. I think we mentioned it in our predictions episode. It was like this widespread thing on the internet as well. Everyone wanted her to be there and do well, but at the same time, we were like, is she up for it? Physically, mentally, is she gonna be fine? We just want her to be proud of herself. And then she skated both of her programs so well. And she made this such a strong statement of being back and having this fire in her and being ready to, like, go. She looked stunning. She can do her makeup. I was just so, so very happy for her. And she finished 11, so that's great.
She does. And I really loved her costume for her free skate. She does Samson and Delilah, and it's, like, coral pink with, like, gold on it. I just think it's lovely. And she had a really good sense of humor about it. Like, you know, I think when she got her score in the short program, it was her season's best, and she was in the kiss and cry, like, yeah, of course it's my season's best. It's the second time I've done it.
I like her. She's like the right kind of edgy. I'm into it.
She is. She's, like, self-deprecating. And then after the free skate, like, in the kiss and cry too, she was like, I'm back. That's all I care about. I don't care about numbers. She just wanted people to know she was back.
I love her so much.
And this is my favorite thing that I guess I would normally save till social media corner, but I think the best thing that came out of this week for Gabby is that after Worlds, like, after the banquet and everything, she went on Instagram and was like, I want to be honest, like, I've been photoshopping my photos and I don't want to do it anymore. And that was like really cool to see, because like, I don't know, man, I can tell when someone makes their photoshops their photos to make themselves look thinner, especially like if there's somebody who has struggled with body image issues. It's kind of like upsetting to see. And it's like, I don't think anybody's like fooling anyone. So it was just kind of like upsetting to see for me. And so I was really happy that she kind of like gave up the ghost on that one. And
I'm so proud of her, because, and then all of the comments were talking about, you know, how strong she looks and how fit she is and all of that. And all of that is true. Like, she, not that it matters, not that it would matter, but she looks great. And all of us saw, you know, we saw her skate. We know that she is great in her body, and it's just, I'm just so happy that she's at a place where she can look at herself and her achievements and not feel a need to change anything about what she's doing. Because, like, yeah, what she's doing is great.
Because she skates at the cricket club, which is such a tight-knit family environment, that environment has probably been really good for her. It looks like, you know, everybody's welcomed her back, and she's really bonded with Evgenia, which, again, like, I don't know. I saw some dumb stuff on the internet of people trying to, like, stir shit and be like, what if they don't get along? I never see them together. And then, of course, all these videos of Evgenia and Gabby being best friends
just
and dancing
being horrible
to
Misha Ged. Just being horrible to Misha Ged all the times, just bullying this poor man.
I love that they're just being, like, dumb teenage girls and, like, dancing and taking stupid selfies together. Like, that's nice. I'm glad that the two of them – they probably have a lot in common, too, just from being, you know, in the same career and having struggled with body image stuff. Yeah. Like, I'm happy that they can be friends.
Yeah, it was great. I'm so happy for their friendship. I'm super happy for Gabby. I'm so excited for her going into next season now, because she's made a statement. She has all of this momentum. She can go into off-season training knowing that she did so well. And she has all summer to just, like, hone that in and come back and, like, really, really be back. And maybe next year we can worry about the numbers when that's what's at stake. But for now, I'm so happy for her. I actually had Gabby way lower in my initial predictions. I had her in my math, my, you know, theoretical bullshit math. I had her ending up 14th, and she ended up 11th. So she proved me wrong, and I love the streak of people proving me wrong and doing better than I've expected. Okay, yes. So that's Gabby. So top 10 and 9, we have Eunsu and Mariah, and I guess Mariah won, because she placed a spot higher than Eunsu, so it was all worth it.
Yeah, she didn't. She skated clean, and Eunsu didn't. So,
yeah, sucks too. No, but she skated. But she didn't skate clean because she was hurt. No, I can't even do this. But I
don't think anybody said that either. Yeah, I mean, to everyone's credit, I don't think anybody.
Yeah, honestly, both of them skated like as well as I would have expected. I was thrilled with. Honestly, both of them did super well, which is why I was so pissed off that we couldn't talk about that. I will say, Mariah, in her free skate, I was worried, because I don't know her personally as much as I'd like to. I didn't know where she'd been at. I knew that both her and Eunsu had been dragged through, like, meetings and things and talking to important people the day before the free skate. So I was like, are they gonna be focused? Are they gonna, like, how is that gonna affect them? And Mariah truly skated with a fire that I've not seen from her in this iteration of it. She's always passionate and present, but there was, like, this thing that was great. I was sad that she had to be there, but she skated so well.
We have not seen her free skate be super clean.
Oh, no.
I mean, if we have, it hasn't been since.
Yeah, no.
Like,
and she,
the Grand Prix series.
Yeah.
And she did it clean, and it was lovely.
It was so beautiful. And it felt like, I mean, I remember you talking about it, I think at Nationals. It was either Nationals or Four Continents, when you said that because it's called experience, you always think that it's about, you know, someone going through something and coming out of it a certain way. And all of that felt pretty real this time around. I could buy into this narrative. Also, I'm permanently adding this track now to, you know, my playlist of, like, Atunau and Malagenia and all of those things that I cannot listen to because they give me anxiety.
But
yeah, at some point, maybe we'll do a separate episode at some point to talk about the gala, but also yeah. Evgenia skated to this music, and I like wept every time I watched
it. Oh, yeah. Yeah. It's hard because there is several beautiful iterations of it, and it came on my playlist while I was working out today, and I just had to like dive in and like change it because I was feeling things.
I know that Ainati is kind of a cheesy like cheese ball elevator yeah. music kind of guy, but I just love that. I'm such a hoe for like emotional piano music. I love like all that cheesy like Yuruma, like all that stuff.
Spotify suggested a playlist. It was just like peaceful piano to me the other day, and I just listened to it and I felt things. It was great. Both of them skated fine. Ansu's free skate dress is forever one of the most beautiful things I've ever seen.
It truly is.
Truly fantastic. Also, there's just the poetic, I'm not going to call it poetic justice, but just like the poetry. Mariah having skated Chicago last year in all white, and then yes. Ansu doing basically the same cut in all black the following year, and there's like this drama, and I'm just saying we don't need a movie about it, but if Margot Robbie was out there, this would be like a beautiful side-by-side montage of both of them.
I have been saying I want the movie, and I want Ellen Page to be Mariah, and I want
Ellen
like...
Ellen Page is too queer for that.
I know, but she looks just like her.
Yeah, but like, I don't know. We'll see. Maybe.
We'll see. But I do think that the two of them should bury the hatchet, and then next year they should do an exhibition program where it's a duet between Roxy and Velma.
And nowadays, at the very end.
Nowadays.
Yeah, I would love that.
I feel like that would be the gag of next season, and it's the only way to approach this. Like, if I were them, I mean, I would cope the way I always cope, which is through musical theater. And I will do that. Yes.
And self-deprecating humor. Perfect.
Self-deprecating humur in musical theater. The Netta Marie story, 2K19.
Well, after... We should talk about the kiss and cry experience for both of them. Because after the free skate, Raph and the kiss and cry with Eunsu was like palpable awkwardness.
Yeah, it was... First of all, Raph looked like a person who has not slept in like 4 days. And I feel for him. I mean,
and who could blame him?
He was coaching the defending world champion after not seeing him for months. And at the same time, his women are trying to kill each other and like mix there, trying to do things. He was busy.
Nick. Raph gave this interview that we keep referencing, and in the interview, he was like, when we first got McCall Brezina to the rink, he just kept getting in everyone's way. He was always getting under people's feet, and that just makes me, I don't know why that's just so funny to me. He's just people tripping over him all the time.
I have a rink mate who does that, but she's 10 years old, and she's about 4 feet 11 or something. He's a man, as he's told us in his free skate. He's a man. And just the idea.
Yes, I am, and I love his.
Just like the concept of him just like tripping over people is so funny to me for some reason.
No, people tripping over him, just like doing their routines, and I'm being like, whoa!
It's so precious, but he is a man now, and he knows to get out of the way when he has to. No, but like, Raph looked exhausted and cold and.
For Mariah, after her free skate, she, you know, one might expect her to have like a lovely tearful moment. No, she went full like, stomped on the ice and had this like, she screamed out. Into the void. She hulked out. She screamed.
That's her secret cap. She's always angry.
I kind of loved that. Loved that for her being like, ah! I loved that for her.
I feel like she needed that release. And she was so composed and beautiful during her skate that I feel like that was warranted. Like, some unadulterated emotion is always so good for me.
Speaking of unadulterated emotional displays after finishing your skates, Sofia Samadurova.
Sofia Samadurova, who first of all skated beautifully. I adore her. She's gotten blonder, which is great. Just for life. She ended up 8th. She skated good. Like, she's...
Yeah, she, I think she singled a loop at the end of like a three combo in her free skate was the only mistake I could notice that she made.
She had such a good season. She is your current reigning European champion. And I feel like at this particular event, it was just a matter of she was very good and there were just people who happened to skate better. But she didn't make any huge mistakes. And I will forever love her free skate so deeply. It's one of my favorites. And she did my favorite thing, which is she went from finger guns straight into sobbing like she did at Euros.
It's very strange that neither the European champion nor the Four Continents champion made it to the podium at Worlds.
Yeah, that's...
That's true for the men as well. Yeah, although, for them, in the case of the men, it's partially due to retirement, so...
Yeah.
God. I just miss Javi.
I can't even joke about this because I'm just sad.
So yeah, good for Sophia. I think this was a really good first senior season for her, and...
Yes.
If she didn't finish higher, it was because why? I don't know. Does she not have the technical content? Like, what's the tea there? I'm not really sure why she's not, like, up in the top six.
I'm honestly not sure. I think she was just outskated overall. I think it's all things that can be fixed by upping her, like, technical components. And also, rumor has it, she's going after her triple axel, which would change things entirely if she did that. So I don't know. She's a very strong contender, and she is definitely someone to watch going into next season. My bets are that she's going to come back fully blonde and with a triple axel, and that's exciting.
That's a mood.
Fully blonde and with a triple axel. And speaking of...
Full Tonya Harding. Full Tonya Harding.
Oh, my God. Yeah, maybe she's gonna kill someone next year. I don't fucking
know. Who knows? All right. Okay. So
speaking of blondes.
I was going to say speaking of blondes...
Speaking of blondes, in seventh place, we have Miss Brady Tunnell from the United States of America.
Yaha!
Yeah. Protagonist of my dystopian journey. Her journey ended up in seventh place, so that's very good, honestly. Looking at the rest of this roster, she did really fucking good.
Yeah, I mean... I don't think that either of them was, like, the best performance she's ever given in her life, but they were both quite good, and ultimately, it's the same old story with Brady. She's technically very good. She's pretty consistent, and she's just gonna have to continue working on her artistry, because that's sort of her, I guess, her weakest spot is just being kind of like a Bambi sort of, like, all limbs kind of situation.
which... is valid, but I feel like she's reaching this understanding of where she's at, which is good. I found myself, her programs were the kind of programs that I didn't care for in the beginning of the season. Then I grew kind of fond of them just because of like this narrative we've built around them, especially her rebirth. And then by the end of the season, I'm done with them.
Yep.
I would be super happy to never see them again, which, spoiler alert, I will, because she's going to the World Team Trophy, but I'm excited for that to be done. Okay, we wish her all the best. We'll see her at the World Team Trophy, so we haven't seen the last of this, and we can talk more about it in, like, 2 weeks.
Okay. Yes, we can.
In sixth place, going into the top six, this is important. This is the top six. Here's a fun fact. Spoiler alert, in case you've missed the results, we were in Japan and there is no Japanese ladies on this podium. However,
they're all on the invisible second podium.
Yeah, it's the invisible. It's 4th, 5th and 6th, which for whatever is worth, I think just because of like how we structure figure skating events, the top six is kind of the important part and all three of them are up there. So that's great. And in sixth place, we have Satoko Miyahara.
A queen.
A beautiful queen. Oh, she's so great.
I just love to watch her skate. She just is such a graceful, mature skater. And I recently watched a program of hers that she did as like a young, like 14, 15 year old from like an old Japanese nationals. And she like still skated with the same maturity. Like she never had that like flappy junior quality. She just like came out of the womb as like a graceful queen.
I know. I think maturity is like the right word to use about her skating. There's something so grounded and comforting about watching her skate. even when it's, you know, maybe not her best performance, or maybe something goes wrong, or, you know, something like that, I'm always so sure that she knows what she's doing. I feel like she is fully in control in this very present way. There is, like, something just so captivating about watching her. I can't, like, explain it. It's weird, but there is, like, there's something about her skating which makes me feel like I'm talking to, like
a therapist.
I was gonna say like a witch who's like secretly like 300 years old, but she just looks like a young woman, and she
is
just
that
knows
not
things.
Oh, what your therapist is? I was gonna say that's my therapist.
I sound like a person who has a therapist?
I hope my therapist isn't listening. I think you're really wise.
There is this, like, wise energy about her that's very comforting to me. I just trust her.
Yeah. I think that Satoko is somebody who should theoretically have benefited from the new scoring system. And she does get her nice plus fives on her laybacks and everything. But at the end of the day, there's this weird, in my mind, unnecessary correlation between TES scores and PCS scores. Yeah. Like, and so I think they should just be completely separate. I think they should, you know, you can judge people's technical ability, you can judge people's artistic ability. But essentially what ends up happening is, like, if somebody's technical scores aren't there, then they bump down the PCS scores. Yeah. And Satoko is a perfect example of somebody who, yeah, okay, she under-rotates a lot. Maybe she doesn't have these crazy high, impressive jumps, but she's so artistically beautiful that why can't you give her the same high scores you're giving the ladies in first place?
Yeah, like, I feel like her PCS across the board should be like eights and nines, and it does get bumped down because of, like, the quality of some of her technical elements. And this is a larger debate, and maybe this is something we save for, like, a half episode on the off season where we try to wrap our minds around PCS, because we've talked about it in the past, and I still, after Worlds, have many, many, many questions. One of them being, was this panel of judges watching while she was skating?
Yeah, I know, right? Like, one of them being,
why?
Did
you think I was headed somewhere, like, very smart with this? My question is, were they watching?
I thought you were going to just say why. That's what I was thinking.
Nancy Kerrigan voice. Is why? No. Some big black stick. Okay, moving on.
You know what? I'm gonna miss Satoko's song for the little sparrow. I don't know how much I'm gonna miss that. The tango.
I'm never gonna miss any tango.
I think that she performed it so well, but at the end of the day, like, I don't know. I prefer the song for little sparrow look on her. She's always, like, the best dressed lady.
Yeah, she's beautiful. Like, we can talk about this when we get to the gala, like, 15 episodes from now. She's a fashion icon. I'm so impressed by her at all times.
So, another Japanese lady that we want to talk about is fifth place Kaori Sakamoto.
Miss Kaori Sakamoto, who I'm so happy she was in Japan so no one butchered her name for once.
Yeah, me too. The reigning national champ.
Yeah, this was hard because she could have been on this podium.
It was four continents all over again. She pops one jump or she fell, actually. This time she fell, I believe, in her free skate. And just the whole arena gasps, and that's it. That's enough to keep her off the podium. Yeah. It sucks, but
I feel like it's the kind of thing where she knows how to work towards making sure this happens less often, because it's the same kind of mistake she keeps making. But it's sad because it could have been so different. And I'm sure that there is a part of her which is definitely, you know, thinking about what could have been had she skated clean. Because overall, her presentation is always great, and her choreography is beautiful, and she looks fantastic. And it's those moments of, like, brief distraction or something going slightly wrong that, like, get in her way. And it makes
me
sad.
It's her score is less than a point lower than fourth and third place, and less than 2 points lower than second. So it's, like, really just, you know, one little mistake.
Yeah, it is very worth noting that aside from the person who ends up with gold that we're going to talk about, everyone between fifth and second place is
within like a point and a half range of each other. So like truly that's where it gets to be down to like the very last point of GOE or like a point of PCS. Like it's the tiniest thing. It could be like one judge who thinks your layback is worth a 3 GOE and someone else thinks it's a 4. It's like those tiny things. So it's I mean, the medals are important and they come with glory and money and hardware cash money. And a watch and whatever else they get. But at the end of the day, if those women look at those scores, they can all rest assured that all of them did basically the same amount of great work.
Yeah, and Kaori's going to World Team Trophy, so yes. We will get to see her skate again. And can I just say, now that we've talked about both Kaori and Brady, I was thinking about how amazing a choreographer Benoit Richaud is, because he did the choreography for Kaori Sakamoto's free skate. He did both of Brady's programs, and he did Yvette Toth from Hungary. He did her – he choreographs her. And her program, which we didn't talk about because she didn't place very high, but she did like a Bruno Mars medley. And part of it was –
it was so great.
It was so fun. It was this super, super fun like grenade, uptown funk, like – all this, like, really cool contemporary dancing.
She was wearing, like, the dress version of Stefan Lambiel's Four Seasons costume.
Oh, yeah. It was wild. I watched some of her. It was awful, but it was great. And it was, like, so bad it was good. And, like, I watched some of her old stuff. And she always does kind of, like, offbeat, funky, like, rock and roll, contemporary kind of hip-hop stuff. But the fact that Benoit did that, he did for Brady, like this YA dystopia and Romeo and Juliet. And then he got also Kaori's like beautiful lyrical princess vibe. Like that's amazing that he really takes into account
It speaks the to skater. Like a level of understanding of who he's working with, which is very impressive because it's very easy. I'm not going to name names, but it's very easy to have a formula of how you build a piece of choreography and kind of applying that to every single athlete you work with. And I feel like Benoit is one of the people who, like, really takes into account, you know, a people's skills, a person's skill set or, like, their vibe, what their overall season looks like, what they're good
absolutely
at, blah, 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 blah. So that's good choreography.
Yeah, well, it's like you don't – I mean, you know, you could go to someone and be like, I will go to that choreographer. I want a piece of, you know, Joe Schmo choreography. But, like, for – it seems like for Benoit, like, you go to get a piece that's, like, you, which is – it's cool. It's like getting a custom gown or something.
Oh, God, yeah. I feel like – and also, the social media corner is going to be so wild, so I'm just going to say this now. For what we've seen from his social media throughout Worlds and all of the girls we just mentioned, it feels like he's just connected with everyone he works with, like, really well.
Yeah, like he's, yeah.
It's like Benoit and the girls having craft beer. It was great. I feel like there's, like, this level of, like, friendship and respect, which probably contributes to the way they work. So that shows, and it's great.
I want him to choreograph me.
Oh, I would love him to choreograph me.
My choreography layout is going to be 3 penguin steps, fall, and then get up, and then 4 penguin steps, and then fall, and then bow. But from the ground, but without getting up, just a bow from the ground.
If you do, you can do like a full like knee slide thing. People do that.
Oh yeah, I'm just going to knee slide my whole program. I'm going to do a quad from my knees.
That would be very impressive if you did that.
I actually can't kneel. Like, my knees are so bony that I can't, like, kneel.
One of my knees.
It's a problem in my family.
My left knee looks like I have a second kneecap right now. It's so swollen.
That's hot. That's so hot.
Jesus Christ. Okay. yeah.
We're cutting all that. +5.
Yes. Never settle for less. Speaking of kind of settling for less. In fourth place, we have Rika Kihira, which breaks my heart.
Yeah.
That's where I'm at. I mean, I'm happy about the podium. I am happy about the podium. I'm at peace with it. But honestly, she was worlds away from a Grand Slam. She was home, and it just didn't happen.
She she singled her triple axel in her short program, and that was it. Like, that there was it. No coming back.
Honestly, that was it, because if you look at the protocols, she was actually second in the free skate. So she is still the queen of comebacks, because she ended up seventh in the short program because she singled that axel. And it was one of those moments where, like, the entire audience, like, gasped. And, like, all of us were, like, going through it. And I remember just being like, no, she's the comeback queen. She's going to be fine. And she did that. She was second in the free skate, which wasn't perfect either.
I think she got one of her two triple axels did not happen. Yeah, in the three
I feel like she was feeling that pressure, but she, it was like just the axels were completely her downfall, which was kind of sad because we've seen her, we've seen what happens when she skates clean, and it didn't happen this time. But yeah, it's one of those things where it goes to show that there is risks involved in relying on that one element. And I'm not saying that the rest of her skating is not great, but she is one of those people where you know she has this show-stopping thing. And when it doesn't happen, it just doesn't happen, and doesn't matter how good the rest of it is.
It's true. She is another one of the skaters who was selected for the World Team Trophy Team Japan, and I'm really excited to see that too. They gave a little... I think it's funny how that the JSF makes the Japanese skaters give like 100 press conferences in their little blazers. But she came out and she was like, my theme for the World Team Trophy is smiling. So they're like, good for you, Rika. Keep smiling.
Never settle for less. Yeah, I think the World Team Trophy is going to be like a good bookend to her season, because she can go out there, do all of her triples, show that she has that, and... go into the off season knowing that she has not disappointed anyone, because I do not think she has. Off the record, also, I'm drawing turtles right now. I don't know why. My notes are just turtles. I'll send you a picture after.
Okay, cool.
Yes. I just needed
off
you to
the
know
record.
That.
I'm drawing turtles. That could have been on the record.
You can put that in the
cold open. Don't like... tell anyone. It's the secret.
They're very bad turtles as well. I'm not good at this.
Okay.
I'm deeply not good at this. Okay. Oh my god, we're getting to the podium. This is so important. Ladies and gentlemen, the moment you've been waiting for. This is so important.
Is it important or is it
it's
like
fine.
Medium important?
It's fine. I don't care. I really don't care. It's not like I cried or anything. Okay, here's the deal.
Here's the iced tea.
Evgenia Medvedeva has had a hard season. We've talked about it in our predictions episode. She has been going through a coaching transition. She's in a new country. She's working with new people. Her body type has changed. She's gotten stronger. And everyone's eyes were kind of on her, whether or not she was going to quote-unquote make this comeback. And guess what, Mimi? She did. Evgenia Medvedeva is your bronze medalist, and I could not be fucking prouder, honestly.
I am so, so happy. I can't even, like, we didn't even know, we had no idea what she was going to do. All for her in the predictions episode were just that she would go out and do her best. Well, guess what? She did. She put out two beautiful, clean skates. Her technical layout was not as complicated as the two girls who finished higher than her. It wasn't as complicated as Rika Kihira's either, but you know what? She went out. She did beautifully.
She killed it.
Went out with a lot of fire and drive, and everything, all her hard work shone through. And she was like, went out with her little murder face. And it was just so wonderful. I mean, of course, I'm really happy for her with results and her skating. But again, much like with Gabby, the thing I'm most happy about were the things that kind of came out, I guess, in the days to follow. Like, she gave some interviews and she just sort of talked about how she feels like part of the family now, and she's got support, and, you know, like, Brian Ricer found her a nutritionist who's helping her. Like, it just sounds like she had never been given any sort of, like, nutritional guidance or fitness guidance or anything at Sambo, and now it's like she's actually healthy and she likes the way she looks, and she doesn't, you know, feel like she has to wear makeup all the time, which, like, whatever, makeup's fun. But she basically said, like, I used to look in the mirror, and if I wasn't wearing makeup, I hated the way I looked, and now I don't. And that's great.
That's great. I'm so proud of her. It speaks to so much growth, and, like, it's so great, because I feel like The same people who keep going looking for, you know, scandal where there isn't one, were looking to her for, like, evidence of, like, oh, is she gonna fail, you know? Especially, like, some corners of Russian media were, like, expecting, you know, this betrayal and, like, all of this going into the season. And she is on the podium at Worlds, looking happy and healthy. She has made friends with Jason Brown. I feel like she's in a great spot.
Something we don't really see with the men so much, but we see a lot with the women, is that there's this big transition and this big, like, fork in the road in, like, the late teens, where it's like, do I continue skating or do I not? Do I flame out early or do I get over the hump of the first half of my career and then make it into a second half of my career where I'm skating as a young woman? And I'm really, really, really excited to see Evgenia make that transition into that second half and not flame out. Yeah, I mean, part of it is probably, like, physical puberty. Part of it is mental and, you know, just the stress of being a young woman in the world. But
that would never be stressful. I can't possibly imagine why that would be stressful.
Yeah, it's not like puberty is
terrifying.
No, not the, it's the best part of everybody else's life. But no, it's just, like, nice to see her have such a wonderful success story after all of the sport can be so crushing, especially for young women. And I was talking with my mom about it because I rewatched Worlds with her because she missed it when it originally aired because I have a new baby niece, which is very
exciting. Yay, baby niece! Congrats to your sister. This is when I'm going to take a second to do this on record. Your niece is so beautiful, and she was born at a very blessed time, and I hope she goes on to do great things. Maybe she's going to be a skater. You don't know.
Yeah, but anyway, what I was saying, though, is that when I watched it with my mom likes watching the ladies more, and I like watching the men more, and we were trying to figure out why that is, and part of it is, I think, my own thirst.
Oh, that's relatable.
And then part of it is that I think what I personally really enjoy watching in a skater is, like, strength and athleticism, and those are the qualities that women tend to come, not always, but in general, more as they get older. And so many of them never reach that point of their career. They just retire when they start changing into that. So it's just proportionally, like, I just enjoy watching a more mature skater, and the field is much younger with the girls. And
I agree. I think I'm with you on that, though. Spoiler alert, going back to the Rafa Ritunian interview, when he was asked about, you know, female quads, and especially Tursunbaeva's, which we're going to talk about in a second, he kind of says what I've personally been thinking, where he's like,
exactly,
she is tiny, of course. I mean, I'm not saying anyone who's, like, 4'11 can go out and do a quad. It's like, but he does make the point of, like, of course it's easier for her body type to do this. She's fighting against less physics, you know. So I agree with you. I think there's something to be said about, like, strength and...
I think it's hard. It's like, we literally both have masters in describing performance, and it's still hard for me to put into words. But I think that what I enjoy from movement quality, like, whether it's dance or whether it's artistic aspect of skating, is... for me, like, a graceful movement is more compelling and touching to me if it looks like control, like, it could be really aggressive and powerful, but it's controlled into something else.
Yes.
And there's strength behind it that is being shaped into something beautiful and graceful, as opposed to if you don't have a ton of like, weight to you, you just, like, when I say, like, flappy bird arms, like, that's kind of what I mean, is like, it just sort of looks like the wind is taking you, and it's not, like, a product of muscles working together. Yes. Like, that, for me, it just appeals to me less. I don't
Agreed.
Know. It's not a body thing. It's not, because, I mean, I think of, like, Satoko Miyahara is very, very small, but just has that quality to her movement.
Yeah, I think it's about quality of movement and not about body type, and I very much agree with you. I think you put it very beautifully. I'm not gonna try to reiterate what you just said, but yeah, there's just something very beautiful about seeing a body working and knowing that it's, like, conscious choices being made. And having said all of that, Evgenia is stronger now than she's ever been, and she is also on the world's podium once again, and I think this is a very exciting spot for her to be at, and I'm very proud.
yeah, she's going to work on getting, she said in an interview, she wants a quad toe and Sal.
But yeah, she did say she wants her quads. I'm worried about jumping at the cricket club this summer because all of them want all of the things. And for poor, what's his name? Ghislaine Briand is going to be so busy. Because all of his kids want to be jumping so much. He's the unsung hero of the cricket club, and we got to appreciate him.
Yes. I'll appreciate him when Jason gets his quad cell.
Speaking of quad cells, in second
Speaking
place.
Speaking of quad cells!
Speaking of quad cells, in second place, we have Elizabeth Tursunbayeva from Kazakhstan. She has the first ever world podium place for Kazakhstan with the women ever. She's also the first woman to land a quad in senior international competition. We were all watching. All of our eyes were on her as she went into that quad cell. And it looked so good. It was undeniable, fully rotated, beautifully landed, just great. She made history. I have retractions to issue.
We've been hard on her, and I think that we both saw what she achieved at Worlds, and we kind of said, you know what, like, we need to really take a look at why we are skeptical of her, because she's clearly great. And we watched some interviews with her, and I think that the conclusion, I mean, I'll speak for myself, but I feel like we agree on this, is that she's super cute and lovely, and we really root for her because she seems like a super hard worker. And if we don't necessarily love, you know, her quality of movement for the reasons we just said, you know, we can really admire her technical ability. And she knows that she has a ways to go with her skating, too. She says it in interviews all the time, her skating skills and all of that. So I think for me, too, I was thinking back to when I first saw her skate, and I think that I let my perception of her from the beginning of this season be colored by the fact that she had been with Brian Orser and then left to go back to Atari. And I thought, what kind of evil human could do that? And I was like, what kind of, I don't like that. But the more I've watched interviews with her, the more I realized she was just really homesick, and it's important to her to be near her family. And that's super valid. I get really homesick too. I might've done the same thing. I don't know.
Yeah, that's very valid. You know what? I'm just going to agree with everything you just said, because I've basically been in the same spot. I also watched some interviews with her. Her Kathy Reed interview from Worlds is delightful. I relate to her on a level of having like a deeply westernized Slavic accent, which just slips out when she gets excited. I think she's so precious. Yeah, I'm thrilled that she got to be the person who had this quad sal. She's forever down in like figure skating history. That said, I feel like her being second, taking silver, is correct. I feel like I would have been robbed of an experience had she taken gold.
I agree. I also think she probably could have / should have taken bronze, and Evgenia could have taken silver. And I hope that this doesn't come off as a shitty thing to say, but I do think that if she had not been from Kazakhstan and it hadn't been the same year that we lost Innes 10, like, you know, I think that that narrative wouldn't have been as satisfying, and who knows where the points would have fallen. I think that it affects the judges. Maybe it's conscious, maybe it's not conscious, but I think that it's like a nice thing to happen for Kazakhstan. I agree it's a nice thing to happen for Kazakhstan, and I'm happy for that.
Kazakhstan,
but I think
deserved
that
something good.
They did. They fucking did. And like, I
will say, for her free skate, in which she landed an iconic historic quad sal, she did place fourth in the free. It just added up that she ended up second. The free skate actually ended up being Zhenya in third, Rika, and then Alina. So she was fourth, even with the quad.
I know that this is, like, so controversial because, like, we're so like, oh, Astor Piazzolla is so boring. And, like, he is. But, like, I have had her free skate music stuck in my head since Worlds. But, like, specifically that one little chunk that's like, da 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 da.
You know what? Me too.
Like, that little riff has been in my head.
Me too. I've been trying to place
it. What is it?
I've been trying to place it, and I couldn't even place it. But that's exactly what's been in my head for, like, half a week. Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's very catchy. I'll give him that. Very catchy.
Da, 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 da. I wish she had choreography that wasn't by Daniil. My God.
I know. Can we get her? Like, can we get her to Benoit?
The worst thing is that when she was skating with Cricket, she was getting choreographed by good people. It's just like, it's only now that she's back. And like, the problem with the Daniil choreography is not just that it's bad. It's that it's like the objective, it's the objective worst possible choreography to highlight deficiencies in artistry and quality of movement.
Yeah.
Because it's like if you already move with kind of a flappy quality, like it's not so great to then be like rush through 16 moves in half a second, you know?
Yeah, agreed. Yeah, I hope she goes into next season with like the confidence of someone who just landed a historic quad, but with the knowledge, which she has displayed in interviews and everything, but like the knowledge that there is still a lot of work to be done in all other departments, because I feel like that's where all of her strengths could be. Her exhibition skate, which I'm sure we'll talk about at some point, is so gorgeous and deeply moving again. And I feel like there is a way to harness this energy without having it be heartbreaking into the rest of her skating and keep all of like the emotion that she started breaking through and showing towards the end of the season and like carrying that through next season. Because I feel like that's when I would like fully start to stand, because I've decided to stand, but I need to be proven right now.
That really won me over too when she started smiling in her free skate. It was like kind of started at the Universiade, and then at Worlds she really like during her choreo and step sequence in the free skate was like kind of smiling and kind of like flirty, and like I just thought that was so cute. Like she's one of those people, I think it's her personality, I think it's her face. Like there are certain people who are just two completely different people when they frown and when they smile. And I'm like, give her happier programs. Give her like Kaori Sakamoto, like, you know, corny, nice, happy programs.
Hot chocolate at the Winter Fair, yeah.
Give her like my Mihara programs, you know what I mean? This like somber Moonlight Sonata doesn't seem to fit her personality. So
I would be happy to not hear Moonlight Sonata for like a season. I love that piece of music. We've talked about it before, but I think I'm over it for, like, a little bit.
Let Beethoven take a nap with Carmen.
Yeah, it's just Beethoven and Bizet just, like, hanging out, taking a nap.
Beethoven and Bizet fan fiction.
I'm sure, I'm not that precisely, but I'm sure people write, would not be surprised.
There probably is Beethoven-Mozart fan fiction.
Oh, I'm sure there is.
That's hot.
Swiftly moving on.
In first place is Alina Zagitova.
Olympic gold, world medalist. She could not be caught. Like, the math, looking at the math after the free skate, I mean, people landed historic quads and could not catch up to her. She just, I'm not sure why or how, honestly. I mean, no shade to her or anything, but I'm not sure how this happened. But after the free skate, she was practically unbeatable. Someone had to have done something that we've never seen before to catch up to her, which is kind of insane.
It's not that I see it as unfair that she won. It's not that I think she shouldn't have won gold in this particular field, because she does really difficult jump combos and her transitions. I mean, look, we may not like the Sambo choreography, but we have to admit that it is chock full of very difficult transitions that she does execute. Those programs are relentless. There's not like a nice slow section where she gets to just like breathe. It's just like, I mean, all the things that we hate about that choreography also make it very difficult and impressive.
Yeah.
And so it's like, I get it, but like, should she have won by 13 points ahead of the woman who did the first quad? Like, that's ridiculous.
It's kind of questionable.
Where is that coming from? I don't see it.
I don't know. I do not know. It was just a bunch of math at the end of the day. Also, it's so hard to, for me personally, it's been so hard to appreciate the quality of her performances, just because I've been so deeply over both of her programs for half a season. I feel like I've seen them so many times, and they were never exciting to me. So I've just had like a personal trouble with that. But that said, she skated without a single mistake, and
there's justice in that, I guess. You know what? It kind of sits ill with me a little bit. And it goes back to, like, you know, after she won the Olympics, you know, they kind of changed the rules around backloading. Like, it always just feels like Sambo's trying to cheat the system. And it makes me so pissed, because it's like, it's not that they're cheating. It's that they're finding ways to exploit the system and, like, not exactly loopholes, but it's like, I don't know if you've ever like babysat a young kid or like had a younger sibling where you like give them an, you give them an instruction and then they execute it in the most like,
yeah,
I'm pulling one over on you kind of way where they like, you know,
I teach children. It's all I have to deal with all the time.
Yeah. And they think they're so fucking clever and like me, 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 because they took your words and twisted them to mean something else. And then they think they pulled one over on you and they're so smart.
That's a very clever way of like describing this, because I haven't been able to like pinpoint what irks me about it. But it's very much
it's like, you knew what I fucking meant.
Yeah,
It's you knew what I fucking meant. And it's like, yeah, you can put every possible element into one program and you will get the most points and you will win, but that's not what we fucking meant.
You know? where can I vote for you to be the next ISU president? Because I feel like we deserve this.
It reminds me of that thing of, it's like that old comic where Pooh's like, what day is it today? And then Piglet said, it's today. And Pooh says, you know what I fucking meant.
That's like when Yuzu like kneels down to like commune with Pooh without, before he skates out. Pooh's like, you know what I fucking meant.
Yeah.
Do you think Yuzu thinks that Pooh speaks back to him?
What if Yuzu does hear Pooh speak back to him?
I mean, I'm sure the Cricket Club has excellent psych care.
Oh my god.
Okay, we're gonna talk about boys next time. But yeah, Alina Zagirva has not cheated. She went out and she did what she said she was gonna do and she did it well. I have, like, ethical qualms with it, but she was undeniable. I don't think she was 13 points undeniable, but she's there. And that's that.
It's almost like when you're playing a video game and you're having a lot of fun with it. And then someone online, like, spent way too much time breaking down the exact way to play the game so that you would get the most points. And then you can't ever unknow that, and it takes all the fun out of it.
Yeah, it's like a way more boring example of that is I play Scrabble on my phone a lot, and sometimes it shows you like the best word you could have played with your tiles if you missed it. And I'm like, I didn't fucking ask.
Like, it's between in Scrabble, like playing like a word that is obscure and smart and creative and no one else would have thought of, but then you find out the best play would have just been putting an X next to an E on a double word tile, and it's like, that doesn't make me sound smart. That's not satisfying
for
me.
It's not the point of the game. I'm not gonna go into like Scrabble politics, because I could probably have an I could have an entire separate podcast about that. My family is very passionate about that. But
That's the Scrabble tea.
And that's the Scrabble tea. No, it's going to be like Scrabble Dags, actually.
Oh, that's cute. Or right? Hold on. I'm gonna get something here. It's going to be like nope. Okay, I was gonna come up with a pun, and then
It just did not happen. And that one pun is what kept you off the podium. It's fine. I'm still proud of you. I'm still very proud of you. But yeah, sometimes you just want to play the smart word, and that's better than adding the S to the end of a long word someone already played.
Thank you. Thank you. That is exactly what I was trying to say. And I just want to play synonyms for penis only and be able to win with that. Thank you.
So anyway. That's the ISU on women during the figure skating, the ISU World Figure Skating Championship 2019.
Did you want to talk about your girl Sasha Fagan?
I do. I want to give Sasha Fagan a massive shout out. I have been shouting her out on Instagram, and she has been responding because she's wonderful and very nice and very, very sweet. Sasha Fagan is Bulgarian. She was the first Bulgarian female figure skater to make it into the free skate in about 25 years. She placed 16th overall, and in this field, that's fucking incredible. I'm so very, very, very proud of her. Very excited. I was watching I think it was the free skate with the BSP commentary, and Chris and Simon kept being like, oh, Sasha Fagan, remember that name, she's gonna be important. They compared her to like the Russians. It was like a whole thing. But yes, Sasha Fagan, very, very proud, very exciting. Yay. Whew.
Yay.
Wow.
I don't know.
I did not know I had that in me.
I love that. I don't know if there's anyone else. Hold on. Let me go on the results.
Eliska fucking Brezinova.
Oh, my love!
Eliska fucking Brezinova. Light of my life. Yes.
Oh, my God. I'm so in love with her.
She is so fantastic. She skates for the Czech Republic. She is the sister of Michal Brezina.
That's why I love her.
I think I love her just because she's stunning. And she has cream skates and impeccable makeup. And she skates beautifully.
That's, I think, why I love her, too. But it's like icing on the cake that she's also Mick's sister.
Yeah, they seem like a great like company to hang out with. Yeah, Eliska Brezina.
Brozinas.
I got read by someone that I don't say Brezina because it's supposed to be Brezina or Brezinova. But here's the tea. Mick doesn't even say Michal Brezina. He says
Michael.
And I'm like, listen here. We've all gone through this with our Slavic names. I've tried to westernize my name. We've all done that. We don't need to adapt to the way Western society expects us to say our name, Michael. So please don't do that. But yeah, Eliska Brezinova, beautiful woman, fantastic skater. So happy to see her there. Yes.
We love her.
Okay, this is it for shout-outs for women. This is all of the women. Some of them are going to the World Team Trophy, so we're not even done with them. Some of them we're going to see at ice shows. There's a lot of things happening, but this is it for Worlds, right?
It is. So okay.
Here's what
I'm going to say.
Yes.
Worlds was pretty lame for plushies. Like, I was really disappointed. But you know what? Because Japan started putting rules on it.
It was capitalism. It was because they only allowed people in the premium seats to throw plushies. And those are people who've already spent every single, I don't know, Japanese money. What is yen. Japanese money? Yen. Of course it is. I knew that. But they've already spent every single Japanese yen they have on their premium seats. So they can't afford to buy plushies for everyone. So there was no plushies. It was like flowers. Aside from the
poos. Yeah, there were little flowers. I mean, aside from the poos, the poo-poos, the raining of the poo-poos.
There was no good plushies. I felt robbed.
So we can't have plushie corner because capitalism ruined our fun. So it was very Hunger Games, actually. Like, only the rich can express their emotions via stuffed animals.
Yeah, so I guess that's why Brady and Vincent both did well. Okay. Yeah, social media corner is going to be hard because here's the thing. Every single person, most of the people we care about who were at the same event sharing like rehearsals and practice times and touristy things around Japan, and the banquet happened at some point. There was just so much in so many like little groups of friends or teammates or people that it's kind of impossible to shout everything out, but maybe we can try to mention some things. I did appreciate, like, everyone kind of in their, like, touristy gear. Yeah. Like, Alina Zagitova is a fashion icon.
I loved that outfit she wore that was pink with pink.
Yes.
It was the outfit that that the redheaded girl character from Kingdom Hearts, whose name I can't remember, but she wears that same thing. It's, like, the pink crop top with the pink skirt.
It reminded me a lot of Tam France from Netflix's Queer Eye because she had this like belt, which like those kinds of like textile belts are very in right now. But she had like a sweater dress like cinched with like a textile belt. It was so correct. And like her cool sneakers. Also, it's so fun to see everyone kind of in like civil human everyday clothes. Also, like, Michael Calada had like a great moment with like everyone got so lucky because it's like springtime in Japan and everyone got to see that
the cherry blossoms are out. They're even out in the Kiss and Cry.
Yeah,
they're out on the logo of the Saitama World Figure Skating Championships. Like, the cherry blossoms are popping and it was cool. It really made me want to go to Japan, honestly, and check things out.
It was stunning. So beautiful. Also, like, everyone's like posting like food that they're having. Japanese food is like one of my favorites, so I was very jealous of everyone all week. But I would recommend, this is like a weird shout out, but I would recommend going to Twitter and finding the figure skating Instagram stories account, because there's someone who like collects basically everything that
goes
down.
I'm gonna find it now
Instagram.
So I can give you the handle, because it's such a blessing.
It's FSIG stories, which stands for Figure Skating Instagram Stories. Mm-hmm. I recommend going to that and just like scrolling through, because So much happened, and all of it was gold.
I mean, there's also, we had so many birthdays this week. We had, first off, Daisuke Takahashi's birthday was March 16th. Should I put my Daisuke comic on the Twitter?
Yes.
I made Daisuke a happy birthday comic. So he turned 33 on March 16th, and then on March 17th was Morrissey Kvitalashvili's birthday. And then on March 18th, it was my mom's birthday, and my niece was born, and it was Alexei Yagudin?
Yagudin.
It was Alexei Yagudin's birthday as well. And then on March 25th, it was Camden Pulkkinen's birthday, and then
He rapped about it.
Oh my gosh. And then on March 26th, Satoko Miyahara turned 21. And it's so funny because we're always like, oh, she's like the elder of the Team Japan women. She's 21. So happy birthday to everybody, all you skaters out there. We got some nice Pisces and Aries
fam. Incredible. Yes. Happy birthday to everyone. I'm so glad that people got to be around other people and celebrate. Yes. Also, while we're kind of in social media corner, people have started rehearsals for ice shows. I was so sad about going into the off season, and then I remembered that off season means we get like ice show content from everyone, which is great. The first Stars on Ice Japan is tonight, as of the time of recording.
We have to talk about Javier Fernandez bullying death.
This is important. This is like a social media important thing. Javi showed up.
Javi has been showing up everywhere, and honestly, the best thing that's happened to me, aside from my niece being born this week.
Yeah, so Javi, we've mourned his retirement, etc., but he showed up. First of all, he showed up to Saitama. He was at the banquet, hanging out with everyone, which was great. He did, a spot where he, for some television channel, he commentated Yuzu's free skate, which we'll talk about next week because I have things to say. But he's been in rehearsals for Stars on Ice with Eric Radford and Stefan and everyone. And there's this golden video in which Stefan, Spin Daddy himself, is doing a spin, which is admittedly not his best spin. He kind of finishes.
It's awkward.
It's not great. He's kind of doing this Keegan Messing impression. It's not working for him. But he's like, was that nice? And Javi goes, no, actually, that was really ugly.
And Steph goes, it was ugly?
And then Javi tries to imitate him, but he makes it look beautiful and graceful. It's so great. But just the brutal honesty.
Steph fully puts his hand on Javi's boob when he asks, which is such a mood.
But I did want to say, while we're kind of in social media still, something going full circle back to the top of this episode, Mariah finally broke her social media silence after kind of being reasonably gone from all of that. And I want to say, first of all, that she was kind of robbed of this experience that everyone else had, where, you know, she could post her cute springtime in Japan pictures and, you know, her one Getty Images action shot being like, hey, thank you for Worlds, I did well and I'm proud of myself. Instead, she had to kind of moderate all of her social media, and she finally posted something today. I'm gonna pull it up, but basically, first of all, she has gone private, so if you didn't follow her before, you might not get to follow her now, because I'm imagining she's not gonna accept requests from people for a while. Also, comments on all of her social media have been disabled because all of them were full of garbage, and I'm guessing that takes time to clean out. But she finally posted a picture, and it's a kind of cool shot of her heading towards the ice. But she says, I'm gonna read all of it, and you can cut selections, I guess. But she says, I'm happy to be back home after two good skates at the World Championship and a season that I'm really proud of. I want to thank my family, fans and friends, Rafael and Vera Artunian, and the U.S. figure skating for their support last week. As I told Ansu in Japan, the incident at practice was very unfortunate and I meant absolutely no harm. Our training environment is professional and supportive, and I've never changed locker rooms or training times or anything like that. The comments that my friends, family and I received on social media were hateful and disturbing, and hopefully this situation raises awareness and causes people to think twice before hitting tweet or post. I learned a lot about my inner strength last week, and I'm excited to continue to train in the lead up to Beijing 2022. So that sucks. Everyone else is kind of oh my god, Japan, thank you, yay, whatever, arigato, and she's here I got hate mail. I'm proud of her for, like, coming back to, you know, social media and speaking out for herself. People on Reddit were immediately like, oh, I didn't expect her to, like, address it at all. And I feel like she had to in order to kind of move on from this. And I hope this is where we put this to bed. Okay, that is everything I had to say, I think.
I think that, too, is everything that I had to say.
All right.
Yeah, next week we're going to talk about men, and maybe we'll talk about the banquet a little bit, too. Yes.
Thank you so much for tuning in. If you are enjoying what you're hearing, there is a way to let us know, and that way is to head over to iTunes and give us 5 stars, because that's basically our PCS. We are performing. The only way to let us know that it's good is to give us some points. So head over, give us 5 stars. And if you want to tell us things, you can find us on the internet. We are at icedpod.com, also icedpod on both Instagram and Twitter.
If you want to follow me on Twitter, I tweet a lot about like weird dreams I've had. There's a robot that works at my Stop and Shop that I like to tweet about. Any fast food I talk about a lot. Anyway, my Twitter handle is MeganKelleher3, and that's also my Instagram handle, and you can find me there as well. I post a lot of pictures of my cat.
Awesome, cool. You can find me on the internet. I sometimes
like drag,
tweet, yeah, I tweet about drag and figure skating, and sometimes about like people I see on public transport. That's basically all I do. But if you are interested in that, it's at Neda Marie on both Instagram and Twitter, and that's NEDA and then Marie like Marie Antoinette. And yeah, find me, find both of us. Tune in next week. We are going to talk about boys. It's going to be great. And in the meantime, thank you so much for listening.
Thank you for listening.
Stop bullying. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
All right, that was fucking lit.